Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
I want to welcome you to today's podcast. Today we're going to be going on with the subject, the resurrection of the dead. So this is the resurrection of the dead, part two. And the objectives of this particular lesson are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to describe the future resurrection of the dead. You'll be able to distinguish between the resurrection of the just and the unjust. And you'll be able to explain how the death and resurrection of Jesus affected the destiny of the human soul. And our key verse is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that an awesome promise? So, as an introduction to this particular lesson, we find that in the previous chapter, the term resurrection was defined, and three resurrections were mentioned in the New Testament, and they were all identified. The past resurrection of Jesus and the present resurrection of the believer in Jesus were discussed in detail. The chapter explained the future resurrection of all that are in the graves, and the future resurrection actually will be two separate resurrections, one of the just and one of the unjust. This chapter also explains how the death and resurrection of Jesus affected the destiny of the human soul. Now, since this chapter concerns future events, it deals with prophecy about the end of time and eternity. So, if you're not familiar with Bible prophecy, then you should review the For Further Study section of this chapter in your book, because it provides a general outline of future events as revealed in God's Word. So now discussing the future resurrection of all in the graves. The Bible reveals two things about all human beings. First off, all will experience the resurrection of the dead. And number two, all will experience eternal judgment. Now Jesus said concerning the future resurrection in John 5:28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." The Apostle Paul also writes about this resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15:22, because he says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Because of the original sin of Adam, death came upon all men, and because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, all men will die physically and later will be resurrected. But there are some exceptions to the resurrection. Those who never die will not need to be resurrected from the dead, because Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 53, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when Paul says that we shall not all sleep, he means that all true believers who are alive at the time of Christ's return for his church, these believers will never experience death. They will be caught up with Jesus and be reunited with Christians resurrected from the grave. Now, as far as destiny of the dead, there is much about this period between the physical death and resurrection that's not really revealed in the Bible, but there are three things that are clear in the Bible. First one is that at the time of death, there's a separation between the body and the soul, and the spirit and the soul. The physical body is put in the grave, but the soul and spirit live on in eternity. Number two is that the spirits and souls of those who were righteous go to a different place than those that were wicked. And number three is the destiny of the righteous was different before and after the death of Jesus. So Jesus revealed what happens after death through a story of a beggar named Lazarus who laid at the rich man's gate. We find that story in Luke 16:22-26. And the story is this, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So at death, the physical body returns to the earth. We find that in Genesis 3:19b. It says, For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Now the soul and the spirit of man enters a new existence in eternity. So there is still a personality recognition of one person by another, and the awareness of present conditions. The destiny of spirits of the righteous is different from that of the spirits of the wicked. You know, both Lazarus and the rich man went to a place of departed spirits called in Hebrew language Sheol, and the Greek language Hades. Most of the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. But the destinies of these two men were very different. The rich man was in a place of torment called hell, and Lazarus was in a place of rest. So between these two places, there was a gulf that could not be crossed from either side. So if the gulf could not be crossed, that means there's no hope to change the eternal destiny of the soul after death. Because of that, if there's no value to pray for the dead, because the decision to accept or reject Jesus as Savior must be made during this life. It is this decision that determines the destiny of your soul. The place of rest for departed spirits of the righteous was called Abraham's bosom. This meant that it was a place for those who followed the same faith of Abraham, serving the one true and living God. But, however, this changes after the resurrection of Jesus. So the story of Lazarus and the rich man reveals what happened to departed souls before the death and resurrection of Jesus. But after his resurrection, the destiny of the souls of the wicked remained the same, but the destiny of the righteous souls changed. When Jesus died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. His body was laid in the tomb, but the destiny of his spirit was decided by God. The Bible reveals what happened to the spirit of Christ after death. In Ephesians 4:9-10, it says, Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So before his death, Jesus told the dying thief who repented, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So the spirit of Jesus descended into Sheol, the place of all departed spirits, but first he went to a place of the spirits of the righteous, and this was called paradise or Abraham's bosom. From paradise, Jesus went further into the area of Sheol, reserved for the wicked spirits, and this was necessary in order for him to complete the work of atonement for man's sin. He had to endure both the physical and spiritual penalties of sin. The physical penalty was physical death. The spiritual penalty was separation from God, which is called spiritual death, and Jesus experienced that in Sheol. The spirit of Jesus ascended from Sheol back to the world. At that time, his body, which had been lying lifeless in the tomb, was raised up from death. His soul, spirit, and body were reunited in the form of a complete personality. As we learned in the last chapter, Jesus appeared in a visible form that to many on the earth before he returned to heaven. So he appeared in a physical form, and we discussed that in the last lesson. So we find because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that we actually have a new pattern. So the events between the death, resurrection of Jesus set a new pattern for the destiny of righteous souls. Prior to Christ's resurrection, the departed spirits of the righteous went to paradise. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, the spirits of the righteous could ascend immediately into the presence of God. And this is confirmed in the record of the death of Stephen. We find that in Acts 7, 55, 56, 59 through 60. It says, "And he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So moments before the death of Stephen, he saw a vision of Jesus in heaven at the right hand of God. And his words were, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Indicate he knew that immediately upon death, his soul and spirit would go directly to heaven. The Apostle Paul also confirms this in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. He says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So Paul compared the death of that remaining alive in order to fulfill his earthly ministry. He said that to be absent from the body was to be with Christ. In Philippians 1, 21 to 24, it says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." So in addition to the new destiny of the righteous dead, Jesus set another new pattern that will be followed by all men. First one is, at death, man's spirit and soul will go to the realm of the departed spirits. The righteous will ascend to the presence of God, and the wicked will go to a place of torment, which is hell. And number two, at the time of the resurrection, the body will be raised again from death and reunited with the spirit and soul. So the resurrection of the dead, it basically has three stages. And the Apostle Paul described the resurrection of the dead in these three stages. The first stage was the resurrection. The first resurrection of the dead was that of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, 22, 24, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end, when he, Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all the rule and authority and power." So the first resurrection was of Jesus. This was what was meant in the phrase, Christ, the first fruits. So there are two resurrections of the dead which will occur in the future. These are the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Acts 24:15 says, "And have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." The Bible also calls these two resurrections the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. And we find that in John 5, 25, 28, and 29. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So the second one is the resurrection of life, which will happen when Jesus returns to the earth for his church. This event will resurrect from the dead. He'll resurrect from the dead all true believers in Jesus. This is called the resurrection of the just, or the resurrection of life. The resurrection of Jesus was the first stage. The resurrection of believers is the second stage. The third stage of the resurrection of the dead is called the end. The resurrection occurs at the end of Christ's earthly reign of 1,000 years of peace. This resurrection is called the resurrection of the unjust, or the resurrection unto damnation. So, to summarize, the following chart summarizes what you have learned from the three stages of the resurrection of the dead. So you want to look in your book at this chart. So we start with as a resurrection of the dead, stage one, the resurrection of Jesus. Stage two, the resurrection of the just, which is resurrection of life. Stage three, the resurrection of the unjust, or we call it the resurrection of damnation. So you've already studied the resurrection of Jesus. Now we'll study the resurrections of the just and the unjust. So in the resurrection of the just, Paul said that those in the second stage of the resurrection are they that are Christ's. This means those who have repented from dead works and through faith accepted Jesus as Savior. Paul said that this resurrection of believers will happen at the time of Christ's coming. Now, the main New Testament passage describes this resurrection of life, which is the just, is found in Thessalonians. And that would be Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And here it is. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So the purpose of Paul's teaching is to comfort believers concerning other Christians who have died, or them which are asleep. This message provides assurance that all true believers can or will be resurrected. When Jesus returns, two great events are going to occur in the earth. First off, all true believers who have previously died will be resurrected. They'll be given new bodies and will be reunited with their own soul and spirit. And secondly, all believers alive on the earth at the moment will experience a quick change in their physical bodies. Both those resurrected and those alive at the time of Christ's coming will be raised by God's power from the earth into the air, and they will be reunited with the Lord and each other from that time on. They will forever be with the Lord. Now, the book of Revelation provides an additional record of the resurrection of the righteous. In Revelations 24 through 6, we read this, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." So the resurrection described in this passage is of believers who die as martyrs during the tribulation period. They are raised just before Christ's kingdom is established on earth, and this passage reveals that the resurrection of the just, which is called the first resurrection, is complete after the raising of the last group of believers. Now, in the new bodies of believers, the Bible reveals some things about them and about the new bodies that we're going to receive. The new body will be according to the word of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:38, "For God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and every seed his own body." And also it speaks of a glorious body in 1 Corinthians 5:43. It is sown or dies in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is also described as a spiritual body. In 1 Corinthians 15:44, it is sown a natural body or physical. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. It's considered a powerful body. In 1 Corinthians 15:43b in the Amplified Bible, it says, it is sown in infirmity and weakness. It is resurrected in strength and endued with power. It's going to be an immortal body. 1 Corinthians 15, 52-54 says, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It's going to be a body that is like the risen, our risen Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So Jesus arose from the dead first. His resurrection is compared to the first sheaf of a great harvest that will follow. The harvest is the raising of believers in the resurrection, and our resurrection bodies will be like the Lord's. In 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, now we are sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And also we find in the book of Philippians 3:21, it says, we shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby we are able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we also have the resurrection of the unjust that we're going to talk about now. The resurrection, as described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:24, and he calls it the end. This is the resurrection of the unjust. When Jesus completes his earthly millennial reign of 1,000 years, God will defeat all his enemies. The last of these enemies to be conquered will be death. This will complete God's plan for the earth. And he speaks of this in Ephesians 1:9-10, having made known unto us the mystery or secret of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth. And Revelation chapter 20 reveals how the resurrection of the unjust relates to other parts of God's plan. In this chapter, the Apostle John describes Satan's final attempt to take the authority of God. This happens at the end of Christ's millennial reign. And we find that in Revelation 20:7 through 10. It says, and when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be loosed and shall go out and to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went into the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp, the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that had deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, during the millennial reign, Jerusalem will be the center of Christ's rule over the nations of the earth, and Satan will be a prisoner during this time. But at the end of the millennium, Satan will be freed long enough to stage a final rebellion among the Gentile nations. This will result in an attempt to attack Jerusalem, and God will intervene with fire from heaven, and the rebellion will be defeated. Satan will be cast into the lake of eternal fire to be tormented forever. So now we'll speak of the end of eternity. John describes the final resurrection of all the remaining dead, and he says this in Revelations 20:11-15. He says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. The death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So to summarize, all true believers who have died will be raised from the grave before the thousand-year millennium reign of Christ. This is the first resurrection. It's the resurrection just to eternal life, of the just to eternal life. The majority of those resurrected at the close of the millennial will be the unrighteous dead. This is the resurrection of the unjust to damnation. The Bible tells of another great event which will happen after these resurrections. This event is known as eternal judgment and is the subject of the study of the next chapter. So after judgment, the destiny of the unrighteous is the lake of fire, which is called in the Bible the second death. The wicked already experienced physical death. Now they will experience the second death, the eternal separation from God. This is spiritual death or the second death. The destiny of the righteous is eternity in the presence of God. So the resurrection message is this: the doctrine of the resurrection is a foundational truth of the Christian faith. The message of the gospel not only includes the life and death of Jesus Christ, but it also is a message of his resurrection. The apostles preach both resurrection of Jesus and they preach the resurrection of the dead. We find in Acts 4:2, it says, "They, Peter and John, taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." And in Acts 17:18 through 32, it says, He, speaking of Paul, preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We'll hear thee again of this matter." So these verses illustrate two different responses of people to the message of the resurrection. Some will not believe it. Others will listen to the message. Our responsibility as believers is to share the resurrection message as part of the gospel. This is what Paul did. He said this: "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also we have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the apostles, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also." That's found in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 8. So the preaching of the gospel is incomplete without the doctrine of the resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians 15:14, 19 through 22, it says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." What an awesome, blessed promise. So our next lesson is going to be on eternal judgment. And go ahead and go into your chapter self-test and do them. And join me for the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.